Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Empty Promise Podcast live episode 121. My name is Chris, and today I am joined on this brutally cold winter's morning in February by my best friend in the whole wide world, Mr. James D. Downey.
Hello.
We spoke a little bit.
Hello, live people. Yeah, internet.
We spoke a little bit before we jumped in here, D. And you have a feathering of snow at the minute.
Yeah, like a firm dusting. It's getting there though, because it's only really starting to come down now.
But you're a lucky boy.
Frequent listeners of the podcast will know I'm a fan of snow, so I'm happy to see it. But apparently it's apparently it's some sort of apocalypse the further down the country with yourselves.
Yeah, it's the worst I've seen it in quite a while, I'm not gonna lie.
I'm sitting here sick that I'm missing that.
You know what? Sometimes you get snow as well. Wrong reaction. Sometimes you get snow and I'm not gonna say like it's warm, because it's not warm obviously because you get snow, but it's definitely not this cold. This is brutally cold as well. Like this is proper like minus degree temperatures. Yeah.
Do you know why I think it is? It's because all week has been just I don't think it's peaked over like zero all week. Like maybe it has like an actual temperature, but like the whole wind chill factor has always been like -1, -2.
And yeah, I mean this is it. Like we're kind of complaining about this, but like this is like the norm for a lot of places. We are just ill-prepared and ill-equipped to deal with this type of weather. I know I am.
You have all these like Canadians like listening, if they're there listening, going like, wow, that's like a balmy week you got going there. -1, -2.
Yeah, balmy. Yeah, yeah, we'll take out into the lake. See, D, today is February 13th. It starts the weekend of love. D, it's the weekend of love.
Oh
yeah,
weekend of love.
I know. And
the
I couldn't
whole
think
weekend
of a,
now
crap. I couldn't think of a better way to start it than with my best friends. Before we go any further, I just want to say thank you to everybody who tunes into the podcast and finds us on a weekly basis. Remember, the video version is available over at youtube.com/emptypromisepodcast, and the audio is available on all podcast hosting services. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast. D, I have a bit of on this day for you, if you'd like. Now, it's not February 14th. It's not please. Valentine's just yet, but it is the 13th, so we'll go with that.
Okay.
Let's go 1601, when the first British East India Company voyage departs from London, led by John Lancaster. What was the East India Company? What was that? Is that just where they set sail for East India? No?
No, that's like the trading ones.
Yeah, but I mean...
It's like the British Empire trading all their, I don't know, like silk and all that shit, you know?
And
opening
was it
up the world.
And was it to East India? Yeah, I take it it was.
I think that, I guess. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
All I know them from is from Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean...
Oh, yeah, exactly. 1942, Hitler's Operation Sea Lion, which was the invasion of England, is cancelled. So we cancel it. Do you know, and actually, do you know why he cancelled it?
I have a vague thing in my head about this. I think I'll recognize it when you tell me, but I can't think of it.
He looked out his bedroom window and he seen the weather and he went, fuck that, no. We'll wait to June. No, I have no idea.
Had he done that when he decided to, tried to invade Russia in the winter, then it might have turned out differently.
Yeah,
I
genuinely have no idea why he cancelled that invasion.
I see.
And in 1945,
like, look at that snow.
The USSR captures Budapest after a 49-day battle with Nazi Germany, in which 159,000 die. Crazy.
God. Yeah. That's a very Nazi-heavy day for Valentine's Day.
Well, it's not Valentine's Day yet, D. This is what I specified, you know? we're not quite there yet.
That's fair.
In 1996, rapper Tupac Shakur releases his fourth studio album, All Eyes on Me. Here we go. The biggest one. I saved the best one for last, D. 1866, Jesse James holds up his first bank, stealing $15,000 from the Clay County Savings Association in Liberty, Missouri. Like, 1866.
What's $16,000 in that money?
But that's what I mean. Like 15,000 in 1866. Like he is literally a billionaire.
Yeah, probably.
That's insane. Wow. Unbelievable.
It's crazy. Unbelievable. Like that there was just a time of like bank robbers, wasn't there? Mm, like, it was just
it was just a thing.
Just go robbing banks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? Or like today it just seems so, you know, a bank robber today would be like a hacker or something, right? It would be like, you know,
yeah,
someone sitting on a computer going in and changing records. And like back then it was like gun and a bag. And
I wonder, like, would you class it similar like to the way like people are like stealing data and stuff nowadays? Like are we living in that age of like bank robber, quote unquote bank robbers? You know, people stealing personal data?
True.
I don't know. It's pretty.
I mean, there is
dull.
A little bit of news on that this week.
Oh, okay. Well, then
CD Projekt Red. I don't actually have much news on it. It's just something I read about.
Okay.
The creators of the Witcher games and Cyberpunk, they were hacked and basically ransomed all of the original code that they wrote for those games was stolen, and they apparently tried to like encrypt all of their data. So they locked it behind a key and said, if you want to access your data again, you got to give us like $1 million.
Wow.
So someone That's hacked in and did this to like one like
a multi triple A game company. Yeah, wow. That's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Like that they managed to do it
right in there.
Yeah,
and apparently they're holding true. They've started to leak the code like across the internet now.
Really?
CD Projekt Red will not pay.
Wow. Okay. Well, there we go. I was going to say we can segue into the news with that if you like, but before I do, I think it's very important to mention that today is Robbie Williams' birthday. Super important.
Thank you for bringing it up. I have it written here. I thought you were going to miss it. So
no.
Before we jump into the news, Chris, I'd like to give a quick shout out to the folks listening to this live, watching this live.
Oh yeah, of course.
Over on Facebook, if you didn't know, we're live this week. if you're listening to this after the fact, we may go live again. And we typically do it on Facebook. So if that's something you're interested in, let us know. All the people in the stream at the minute, let us know if you're enjoying it.
Thank you.
Gavin, the main man, telling us good luck.
Thank you, Gavin.
To keep safe in this wild wintry weather.
Yeah.
And
I get it.
Michelle Callan also seeing snow.
Yeah, there's a lot of snow about.
Good luck as well. So thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's get. What was I going to do? Yeah, we're going to do some news. Okay, I have a little bit of news this week. Again, I'm taking the news back to the trustworthy source that is the Daily Mirror, because, you know.
Excellent.
But a man has taken to the internet to show how he takes, you know, the breakfast cereal Shreddies. So the little square Shreddies.
Oh, yeah.
Shreddies. How he takes it to, quote, the next level. But it's making a lot of people feel sick. So once again, this is on TikTok, just the complete cancer of social media, to be honest. And we've seen a lot of food combinations that we've never expected, including baked beans on Weetabix. Did you hear about that during the week?
I've seen it. Like, that's an official thing, right?
Yeah. Did you see the tweets? No? Did you see the whole back and forth? The NHS got involved? Okay. I'll try to find that for the news, actually.
Oh, my God.
But there's a TikTok video about Shreddies that have caused a lot of stir. It's the fanatics behind London's popular Cereal Killer Cafe. So, cereal cafes, big thing all over the world. Not one even close to us, I don't think, you know, where people just go in and pay extortion prices for a bowl of cereal. You know, it's absolutely genius, but I can't help but wonder who it is that's actually fueling this, because you can buy a box of cereal for like just over a quid and you're probably going to pay like four or five quid for the bowl.
The same time, bet you're sitting there going, I would definitely visit one if there was one nearby.
D, I would never be out of the place. I'd have a loyalty card and everything. You know?
Exactly.
So in this clip, they can be seen pouring frosted Shreddies, so the frosted version of Shreddies, into a bowl. But then instead of adding milk, like normal people, they begin to pour orange juice over the top. A voiceover saying that Shreddies tastes better with orange juice, but if you add cream to it, it takes it to another level of tasty. And then they begin squirting whipped cream all over the top and branding it a tasty dessert.
Is this cream to the orange juice, or cream instead of orange juice?
No.
This is
Shreddies. Shreddies, and then instead of milk, juice. We're doing orange juice, and then we're topping the whole lot in whipped cream. So it kind of looks like a really poor man's kind of banoffee pie.
No, that's wrong.
Yeah, one person replied, "The grannies didn't slave away for you to put orange juice on it." Another said, "This is a war crime, and I'm contacting Geneva." And then another person said, "Please tell me this is a joke," but it's not. It's been shared over 60,000 times. From the social media platform, and I will post in the post, because I don't think I can do it live, but I will put the video or the images of this onto the screen so people can actually see that, because that is gross. I would picture
maybe there's something to it, Chris. Like,
whipped cream, like whipped cream, good. Orange juice, good. Shreddies, good. You know, it has the makings, but together, I don't know. Whipped cream, when it hits any kind of like liquid. Like, you know, you put whipped cream like in coffee and hot, like hot chocolate's a different thing because you kind of want that. But when it hits like a watery liquid, like orange juice, it's just got to go like, just, ugh. I can't even imagine, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I'm not going to be the first to try it. I'll put it that way.
No.
To each their own.
to each their own. Do you have a bit of news, or do you want me to go on?
I'll come in with a bit of news. I be browsing the news, Chris, and come across some stories. This needs to be read out in the podcast. And I didn't even read this before. I just seen that. I've just been clickbait into this, Chris. I've seen the title. I want it to be shared with the world.
I wonder, is this the same piece of news?
Overtly sexual.
Nope. Oh, definitely
that's all you
not.
Need to hear.
Definitely not. It's not the same. Overtly not the same sexual. Piece of news.
Overtly sexual cow blocked as a Facebook ad.
What?
didn't expect that, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh my god.
What? Please
the
go on.
The owner of a small digital photo gallery has pictures of wildlife, landscapes, and buildings blocked by Facebook for supposedly containing overtly sexual content. Examples include a photo of the England cricket team in a huddle and one of a cow standing in a field. What? Oh my god.
What has the world become, D? Like, what kind of place are we living?
So maybe it was just like an algorithm. So it was like he tried to use these images as a Facebook ad, and Facebook told him that it was overtly sexual. He says there's nothing risque about any of the 400 images on his business page.
No.
And Facebook told BBC it was investigating the issue. But here, Chris, this is what's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Throughout this process, at one point, his entire account was suspended from placing any ads at all. So he got completely blocked from actually advertising his business on Facebook because
of these pictures?
Some piece of software said a cow is overtly sexual.
Oh. It's like, so is it a cow like humping another cow?
No.
Like, is that what we're going with here? Like,
it is. No. I genuinely have the picture here. I don't know if I can bring it up without kind of ruining what we have on the live stream, but it is literally, it is a single cow in a sort of misty field, stud there. It's kind of walking down towards the stream. That's it. Like, that's it, Chris. There's nothing sexual about it. To me, anyway. I mean...
To each their own. Like, what you get your kicks off, that's nobody's business but your own.
Be it cows or Shreddies with orange shoes, whatever it is, you know, we're not here to judge.
Or just a particularly misty field. We're not here to judge.
Field of wheat.
Now you're trying to get me all hot under the collar here, D. Well, anyway, experts claim, D, that experts claim there are 520 ways to eat Jaffa Cakes.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And how you do says a lot about you.
I'm sure it does.
Firstly, who are these experts that are being paid to do this?
Yeah, that was my exact first question. I was like, who are these quote-unquote experts? Fuck's sakes.
Well, we all know about the...
Is this another fucking TikTok group?
If it is, I swear to God, the laptop's going just out in the screen. Well, we all know about the full moon, the half moon, and the total eclipse, the crescent moon total eclipse when it comes to eating the Jaffa Cake. That's it. That's like the only ways there should be to eat a Jaffa Cake. But did you know that there are now 500... It's been revealed that there's 520 different ways to eat a Jaffa Cake. This couldn't be real. So I'm going to read on. Once again, D, I was completely clickbait into this. I have not proofread it. Don't know where this is going.
Are you going to list all 520?
I hope so. But behavioral psychologist and dating expert Joe Hemmings unpicked the findings, delving into how Brits enjoy and approach eating our food and what this shows about our personality. So if you are, I'll give you some of them here. So if you are a half mooner, so you take the Jaffa Cake and half a bite, you tend to be confident, self-assured, rational, and optimistic. Okay. If you are...
Did someone hire a fucking, excuse my language, astrologist, like someone who writes horoscopes and say, here, just fucking take a Jaffa Cake. 520 words, go. Jesus Christ.
It gets
confident.
It gets better. If you're a total eclipser, which I tend to be from time to time, just the whole lot in one bite, because a Jaffa Cake's quite small. You know?
Just, yeah.
You tend to be spontaneous, impulsive, confident, and charismatic. If you are a nibbler who tends to nibble around the outside and leave the Jaffa bit, you tend to be amiable, patient, may also be shy or introverted. Like, where are they plucking this from?
I can tell you exactly where they're plucking it from, but we'll probably get us banned on fucking Facebook.
If you're a deconstructor who likes to divide each separate layer, I don't know who likes to do this. You tend to be creative, organized, and self-confident. If you dunk, I don't know who the hell dunks a Jaffa Cake, but you tend to be enterprising, adventurous, and enjoys taking risks. Warm, friendly, spirited, ambitious. These are all some of the words that are poking up here, D. The half.
Just Chris, it's. Do you know what it is? It's a collection of generic words that could apply to anybody in any situation, randomly assorted and thrown against a list of how to eat Jaffa Cakes.
100%. You could apply the exact same thing to a cup of tea. Yeah. If you down a cup of tea, you are bold. You are firm.
Daring.
You're daring. Yeah.
But also, you are caring and considerate. You're kind of like. It's just covering all your bases. Like, it's hit this stuff, man. So
I know.
Much.
But this is the news that you come to love on this show. It's complete clickbait bullshit. Like,
the fact that an expert has done this. Can I just verify before we go on as well? Mm-hmm. He's a dating expert? That's the expertise.
Dating expert.
Here?
Yeah. I think it's female. So that's what it's Joe spelled J-O, which I'm pretty sure is the female spelling of the name Joe. Joe Hemmings.
Well, whoever they are no expert by any means.
No.
Just good day. Goodbye.
Good day, sir.
good day to you, sir.
Have you got another piece?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So do I. I'll wait. I'll let you go.
Well, I'll go first. All right. Just wait your turn. I didn't hear about this or see this, but I was kind of shocked this happened without it, first going past me. YouTubers projected a video including the words Boris Johnson is a wet wipe onto the Houses of Parliament. I don't know how I missed this.
When was this?
But they literally... this was like a few days ago. Again, now Chris, you're not going to love this. It did originate... It's sourced from TikTok. I apologize. Well, no, actually, technically it was two YouTubers. Zach Alsop and Jimmy Rossthorne, who run a massively popular YouTube channel, The Zach and Jay Show, which, again, I've never actually heard of that.
I think I've heard of that, believe it or not.
They have 772,000 subscribers, and wow. In a video they posted, they revealed that they had gotten an idea from a fan about their next video, which they suggested they were going to break into the Houses of Parliament and scream, "Boris Johnson is a wet wipe."
It's a wet wipe.
A wet wipe, yeah. I like that
they also keep it very family friendly, you know? They're not breaking in screaming, "Boris Johnson is a wanker," you know? He's a wet wipe.
Yeah.
Your kids can still watch.
Wet wipe's always worse, though, because it's such a specific and, like, just damp,
you're just a wet wipe. Form of being,
you wet wipe.
Yeah.
Because of the legalities of that, they didn't actually want to go through with that, so they reached a bit of a compromise and teamed up with two TikTok users by the name of Tommy and Isaac, a professional team who operated the heavy projector, which then displayed this. It was like a short video of like interviewing people on the street of their opinions of Boris Johnson. Not too positive, as you can imagine. Most people asking Boris to get his act together, and they displayed all these messages featuring a clip of Boris Johnson as a clown onto the building, and they ended their show by projecting the words, "Boris Johnson is a wet wipe."
I wonder what he made of all this.
Did the police approach them after that?
Oh,
I don't think he'd do anything, would he?
Probably not. Would he make a statement or anything, do you think? Probably not.
Nah.
He's too much of a wet wipe for that.
Who just deals with... Yeah, you know, that would just kind of lean into the whole wet wipe persona, which he wants to probably put some distance between himself and that, to be honest. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I'm a fan of people who can bring out their frustrations against politicians in kind of a fun way.
Yeah.
Frustrations in general in a fun way.
Here's something, D. We rarely talk fashion on this show. We're not overly fashionable.
Not nearly enough.
Gentlemen, no. But I have a piece of fashion news. So, it's different. It's Louis Vuitton has been mocked for selling, quote, "the world's ugliest jumper that costs 5,800 Great British pounds." So, let that sink in, first of all, that there is a garment costing 5,800 Great British pounds before we even talk about what it is.
Yeah. Like, I'm not even shocked. Like, that seems well within the realms of possibility.
The jumper that is 5,800 pounds is covered with puppets and crocheted toys. Yeah. Like, it's covered. The Posh Designer label boasts the elaborate, quote, "showcases the playful puppets that are a major theme this season." It added that it is, quote, "exclusively made to order." But the brand was accused of taking the piss on social media, where lots of unimpressed people shared their opinion. The knitted jumper is covered in 14 crocheted toys, including a green frog, a black and white panda, and a grey octopus. Lots of unimpressed shoppers felt like they were having the wool pulled over their eyes after spotting the eye-watering £5,800 price tag. It looks like, you know, all those like little cheap like fairground toy prizes that you win, or like the win every time like arcade machines.
Oh yeah,
it looks like you got 14 of those and you literally stitched them to a jumper. That's it. But it costs £5,800.
Like, all I can imagine is like it. Like the creepiest little puppets ever.
They're pretty creepy. Like, they look like little sack, like little sack boys.
Not properly formed.
Yeah.
Or sitting upright. Just like weird things hanging off a jumper of a person. Oh no, that's just wrong.
Somebody actually responded saying they could make it for a tenner, which isn't an unrealistic feat. Like, you could make something like that for a tenner.
But don't they make all of theirs? They all make all of their clothes for like dirt cheap.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
And then sell it for... It's all about the name. Like, and it's the fact that they do things like this as well. Like, they do stupid... I would say argue this is just a stunt. Just to get a bit of... Just to drum up. What's the name? Vuitton? Louis Vuitton?
Publicity, yeah.
That's all. Yeah. That's all this is. Like, yeah.
I know... It's shameless, I know,
Louis.
But I'll tell you
directly
what,
to Mr. Vuitton.
I tell you what, if Gavin's still listening to this, I know he's a fan of his fashion. Maybe he has some disposable income, maybe that he wants to throw at a £5,800 Louis Vuitton jumper. If you are, if you have, and you plan on that, let us know.
And, we'll do it for you for $2,000.
Okay. Yeah. Not including post and packaging, of course.
Oh, God, no. God.
Have you got... I don't even know why I bother asking. Should I just make the noise?
Please.
Rawr! Yeah, it is time. It's time for...
Don't know what that was, Chris.
time for some caging the beast, I think.
It's a simple one this week, Chris.
I was actually... go on. You have a simple one. I think I have a little bit to share on this. I don't know if we're going to be shooting along the same lines.
Oh, well, possibly we will be. I mean, it's very, very... You know, he's a simple man. Mm-hmm. He's not always doing crazy things. But he is always making crazy movies. And this week, Chris, one of them dropped.
Yes.
One that we have been eagerly anticipating.
Yes. Dropped yesterday. That'd be right.
I thought that... Yeah, that's right, yeah. I thought this week I would just share some of the thoughts and opinions that have been circulating from various reviewers.
I'll just close my piece of news. Like, there's no point. If you're going to cover it all now, that's exactly what I was going to go for. There's no point. The page is closed. It's gone. There you go. Thank you.
If you don't know what we're talking about, I've always called this Wally's Wonderland. But apparently,
I thought it was Wally's.
Rotten Tomatoes right now.
It's Willy's Wonderland.
And it's called Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I thought it was Wally's as well.
Or Willy's. I'm sure you'll stumble upon it at some point. It's now streaming, so you can get it on, like, on YouTube and Amazon and places like that. If you want to give it a watch, but you may want to hear these reviews before you do so. Basically, if you listen to the podcast before, you know all about this. This is Nick Cage fighting animatronic characters that have come to life in a creepy amusement park, is essentially the premise. Basically,
if you're
Five Nights at Freddy's.
The movie.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. If you're a fan of Five Nights, you'll know all about this. Or, like, if you know of, like, Chuck E. Cheese or places like that where they have, like, these big animatronic kind of things, like, serving you dinner and shit like that, yeah. You'll know exactly what we're talking about. If you don't, just Google it. But I think the premise is great.
Yeah, I mean... It's kind of middle of the road at this point, Chris. We're gonna see if it it's gonna be a cult classic or if it's just gonna be a Nick Cage B movie.
Yeah, I've seen some of the reviews, but go on ahead with.
Frank Sheck at the Hollywood Reporter says, at this point, Cage's movies don't have to be reviewed, but rather stamped with official certificates of weirdness. Which apparently is a positive review.
Yeah, I wouldn't class that weirdness as a bad thing. You know, weird is unique.
Oh, certainly not.
And if there's one thing our boy Nicky C is, it's unique.
I think this movie gets the official certificate of weirdness, which is only a good thing.
Yeah.
Donald Clark of the Irish Times says, nobody without a spear through their head can sincerely describe Willy's Wonderland as a good film. Which seems overly harsh.
I don't know. Maybe he's just not a fan of, like, killer animatronics. You know?
On the same note, though, Chris, Buffy de la Tour of Sci-Fi Now says, It's brain dead brutal, and there wasn't a single moment where we weren't grinning with like idiots and laughing out loud.
So, yeah, that's
brain dead. Not necessarily a bad thing.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect. Yeah, I'll take that. That's excellent.
Willy's Wonderland is a B movie at its best, with a bloody brilliant central thrill ride steered by a bonkers Cage.
I'm gonna have to find
all
this.
All I needed to hear.
I checked yesterday, D, but I couldn't find it. Like, it hadn't dropped by our time yesterday morning, but I wasn't seeing it on any streaming services apart from, like, Australian ones. So I'm hoping at this point it's going to be
available. Eventually, it came out, a little early in Australia. Or
yeah.
Like,
so I'm hoping now it's available. because I need to see that. I'll pay to watch that. But I'm happy enough.
Oh,
I'm happy enough.
I've going seen it in. For like £6, Chris.
Yeah.
We can make That's this fine. Happen. We can make this happen. That is, anyone's out there, you know, looking for ideas to do for the Valentine's weekend.
Yes.
There you go. Willy's Wonderland. Pick it up.
Willy's Wonderland. Not Wally's. Yeah. Perfect. That's a nice way to wrap up our news for this week, D, I think. Before we jump into some kind of different, strange little topics that I have. But first off, let's just say a big thank you to everybody who is tuning into the podcast. If you're listening to it live, thank you very much. We hope it finds you well. If you're listening to it later on in the week, again, you are very, very welcome to the Amply Promise podcast. Thank you to everybody who finds us on a weekly basis, no matter where you are in the globe. It is wonderful to have you here in our small but ever-growing community. Remember that you can find us on YouTube as well. Video version of the podcast is available there. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast on YouTube. And the audio is available on any podcast hosting service. We would ask, though, if you are listening to us anywhere that you can give us a thumbs up, like, rating, whatever, you do so, because that helps us out tremendously. And of course, you can get in contact with us through our social media. Instagram and Twitter work best. Search for the handle Empty Promise Podcast. Or our email, which is
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
Look at that. There you go. There's all the information you need. And thank you so much to everybody who tunes in. This is awesome. And it's awesome to be able to do this. And it's even cooler to be able to do it live. Okay. With all the ads out of the road, D. I have honestly, we didn't really discuss too much about what we were going to do as a main topic. Now, I do have a big topic coming. I've told you this. But it is like, I underestimated the sheer size of this. I was thinking like it's probably going to be a two-parter. Like two parts is going to be pushing this. So that's what I'm working on at the minute. So for this week, I was like, what are we going to do? So I have a couple of little bits. Firstly, I have a little survival story. And then I have some Valentine's stories as well that I think you'll enjoy. I think we'll start with the survival story just because... Let's get the kind of nitty gritty out of the road, if you like. One second, I just bring up my news. Firstly,
for the sounds of things, it was the survival story is going to be you out this morning going for a run in that blizzard.
It was pretty brutal. I'm not going to lie, it was pretty brutal. That's not the story, unfortunately. But I have a story here about a man called Robert McGee. Now, this isn't the main story we're going to touch on, but I found this one as well. I should have brought it up as the news, but I didn't. But Robert McGee was a man who... I'll just tell the story. It's very quick. So during the Revolutionary War, wounds and fatalities mostly occurred from bayonets, gunshots, and swords. But occasionally, scalping by American Indians was also very common. So, you know, the Indians would like scalp the Americans, I guess, or other Indians. I'm not quite sure on my history there, but the scalp, along with the hair and sometimes even a person's ears, was a trophy prized above all others. In most cases, a scalping victim was dead or soon to be, although there are accounts of people being fully conscious during the grisly act. However, even though the scalping was intended on being macabre and lethal, some scalping victims actually survived. Many of those who survived later died of infection, including instances where bare bones of the skull would become necrotic, which is exposing the brain. Basically, the skull would pull apart.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But one of the most famous survivors was Robert McGee, who, when he was 13 years old, found out exactly what it was like to have the flesh ripped from his skull. In 1864, McGee was traveling on the Santa Fe Trail towards New Mexico when his wagon train was attacked by a tribe of Brule Sioux Indians, led by their chief, Little Turtle. They slaughtered everybody on board, including women and children, and McGee had to watch in horror as their blood was shed. When he was brought before Little Turtle, the chief settled on killing the boy himself. First, he had a bullet into McGee's back and shot two arrows through his body to restrain him to the ground. Then he pulled out his knife and cut off 64 square inches of scalp and hair from McGee's head. Oh. It is said that the Sioux warriors took much larger pieces of scalp than the other tribes. Robert McGee was awake the entire time. Following the ambush, he was left to die, but soldiers soon arrived and discovered his body. He and another boy miraculously survived. Although the other boy died after being rushed to Fort Larned, McGee went on to make a full recovery. Taking him, on average, it took scalping survivors 2 years to recover. And the photograph that I'll have to put in post, if I can do that, actually shows Robert McGee. If you Google Robert McGee, you'll see the photo, and he is literally left with a little patch of hair here, and his entire scalp has just been ripped off, but he survived. Survived to tell his tale, and I think he wrote a book about it, actually. Yeah, that so is, that's a pretty that's awesome the story.
Strangest Valentine's Day story I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I don't know why I read it during the week, and I was like, that kind of stuff just fascinates me. I'm like, what?
That's crazy.
Like, what kind of shit went on here? Like, you know. Okay, so what I'm thinking of is, I have another tale of survival, but I'm thinking it might actually make a decent topic next week if I held it, and we could just break into a couple of little Valentine stories, and keep it all very romantic. What do you think?
Yeah, let's go for that. Yeah, hold the story for
the main
topic.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay.
And we can get all romantic up in here. Up in
okay.
Here.
So I talked to the internet to search for some Valentine stories, some funny, some wholesome, whatever, and these are some of the best ones that I found. So this came from a user called Typical Canadian. So I've posted this before in a similar thread, he says, but it's too bad not to share again. To preface this, I'll say that I'm a big sorry the thread this was under was what are your best or worst dating stories around Valentine's. To preface this, I'll say that I'm a big guy, 6'5" and about 210 pounds, and very clumsy. The first time I met my ex's parents was at their house, and I fell down the stairs. This alone is bad enough. But sitting at the bottom of the stairs were her parents' beloved chihuahuas. I killed one of them and paralyzed the other.
Oh, no.
I also fractured my patella on the way down.
Oh, my God.
Imagine meeting your partner's parents for the first time and killing their parents' chihuahua. Killing one of them and paralyzed the other. He also fractured his patella on the way down.
I can't even imagine, like,
how do you even, like,
I'm sorry,
yeah,
that's the word. Like, I feel from both perspectives there, because, like, being that guy, you just fell down the stairs, you're a clumsy guy, it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's just the worst possible outcome.
Yeah, like, yeah,
in the situation. And then from the other perspective, like, what are you gonna make of the man who came in and just killed one of your dogs?
I know
he didn't just, like, come in intentionally to kill a dog, but, like, at the end of the day, like,
I know, it's pretty, yeah,
it's clumsiness.
Your beloved chihuahuas as well, like, they, oh,
I can't even imagine. I actually, that's just ridiculous. Oh,
I mean, at least there'd be no
that
more
worked out. That, they got they what
well
did
he,
they wind up getting, like, married or something?
No, I don't think so. It's because he says the first time I met my ex's parents, so I take it it didn't work out.
Okay, yes.
But at least like, there'd be no kind of no more awkwardness when he ever, like, visits again. It can't get any more awkward than that, like, you know.
I don't think he's visiting again, Chris. I mean, gets back into the house, God knows what he'll do.
I wonder, do you bring that up? Like, do you bring it up? Like, oh, remember the time I killed your dog? You know? No, probably not. Probably bad taste.
I think you answered your own question there, Chris.
Okay, this is a good story. This one comes from Lorg B, and this was posted 6 years ago, so this is a while back. Best date ever. So I got set up with this girl who was a couple of years older than me, in my mid-20s. We go out for dinner, followed by a comedy club where it's improv night. Dinner is okay. Conversation isn't great. Felt like there was no spark. Anyway, we wrap up dinner and head to the comedy club. The comedy was funny, and we're having a couple of drinks and a good time. the comedians on stage are doing a Vietnam War skit. So suddenly a spotlight shines on me and one of the comedians begins demanding that I get on stage or the whole platoon is going to die. So I go up there and my date is mortified. Eventually, one thing leads to another and I'm shirtless, crawling through hula hoops, yelling orders at the other comedians and putting war paint all over my body in front of an audience of 200 people. When I was finished up there, to rapturous applause, the place gave me free drinks for the rest of the night and it was great. My date, however, could barely look at me the rest of the night and kept asking me if I had planned that. I never saw her again after that, but when you feel, make sure it's spectacular.
It's so funny, like, that guy was a hero to, like, the entire crowd plus all of the improv people. Mm-hmm. And the one person that he you know, liked to have impressed was just, like, mortified. That's just... Mm-hmm. Ugh. To be fair, that was a matchup that wasn't going to work, I don't think, because...
No.
You know?
Here we go. I've got another one for you here. So I'd be a guy. This comes from Mrs. Entropy. A guy I'd been seeing very casually decided to try going out on a, quote, real date. He left it all up to me, so I took him to my favorite Indian restaurant. It was very awkward, as up to this point, we'd only really been sleeping together and hadn't had many conversations. He was hot and he was incredible in bed, but I just didn't take him seriously. He said the restaurant had really nice avians. Since this isn't a word, what? I'm not sure how to even spell it. Exactly. So I'm starting to think that maybe he's dumber than I first thought, because all he talked about was football. He never asked me any questions. I had to keep up the entire conversation. I made an offhand remark about not understanding the whole conference thing, and he launched into a 20-minute long lecture about the difference between the AFC and the NFC. He ordered the same thing as me, chicken tikka masala, and when the waiter asked how he wanted it, mild, medium, or hot, he said, extra spicy.
I was waiting for him to say something like rare. Or like that.
Well, he then went back to my place with me and had explosive.
Oh, no. Watch, Chris. And you don't even need to say it.
And had explosive diarrhea for a few hours. Before falling asleep in my bed. I didn't even get laid. My roommate at the time...
Would you want to after that?
Explosive diarrhea.
2 hours.
For a few hours, dude. My roommate at the time convinced me to give him a second chance. It turns out he was just nervous and had never eaten Indian food before, so he figured he'd just be safer off ordering what I got. He also didn't know
this
what
like,
to talk about.
What do you call that movie? Something about Polly. Around Polly, the exact same thing happens.
Yeah. He also didn't know what to talk about because he thought I was out of his league. Our second date went a lot better, and now our 14th wedding anniversary is coming up in a few months.
Oh, well, there's a happy ending. That's good.
There's an edit at the bottom. He meant to say ambience, not aviance.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, I think that's great. Let me see. I had another one here. The worst date I ever had been on was an awkward dinner where I go to a bar. The two of us got drunk and she runs into some college friend and then ditches me for 45 minutes. I hang in there getting more drunk and more pissed off, and by the time she comes back, I'm completely wasted. I tell her what I think about her. She apologizes, and a year later, we got married. I'm still in love with her. She's the love of my life, but it was the worst first date I think I've ever had.
Well, like, I kind of like these ones where it's like everything seems to go wrong, but it kind of works out in the end.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah.
This is not normally what you get from, like, is this Reddit? This is not normally what you get from Reddit. It's always disaster stories that just, like, blow up spectacular. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, these spectacular blow ups wind up pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. Traveling. So there's two here from username T Burnt My Tongue. So their best yet. Traveling for a local business conference a couple of years ago, decided to ask out a local in one of the evenings in Austin. We hit it off and head back to her place. Her roommate is taking a shining to me, and I'm basically stalling the whole thing, and is talking to me and basically stalling the whole thing, being a huge cock block. Since I'm so detached from it, she says, since I'm so detached from fucking it up, since it's now or never. Hang on. This is so. Since I'm so detached from the fucking it up, since it's now or never, as I'm flying out the next day, I just say, hey, why don't we have a threesome? This was the first one I ever had, and probably the best because of the whole scene from a porno storyline. Anyway, they go on to explain the worst date.
Oh, God.
4 years ago, a date from online. Take her out to dinner. She shows up looking better than her photos. Great start. We banter back and forth for a few hours. Things are going well. She invites me back to her place to play Super Mario. Yes, we actually played Super Mario. Huge win because... huge win. She then goes to the bathroom and about 30 minutes go by. Now I've had my share of upset stomachs, but 30 minutes is a long time. I'm concerned and go to knock on the door. There's no answer. Well, she couldn't have left, right? I mean, I'm still here. That's a dumb strategy. So I could just camp or steal shit, I think. So I break into the bathroom with the inside of a disassembled pen. I open the door to find her passed out on the floor with a rubber band tied around her arm and an empty needle lying on the floor.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's the end of that one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's unfortunate. I gotta take 2 seconds, Chris. I'll be back momentarily.
You work away. You work away. I will keep this live stream going on my own if I have to. From Texan Girl, 6 years ago, my worst date. That would be one where a guy took me out for a really nice dinner, something I could never afford on a regular day. It was a fantastic dinner, great foods and drinks, okay conversation where he talked about himself most of the time until he remembered he was with someone. Time to pay. The guy had a coupon, which I don't mind. I am all up for saving money. However, this coupon... God. Which was for a free meal up to $50, had expired like a year before. Our bill came to about $47 and some change. The waiter came back and said that the coupon wouldn't work and it asked if we had another way to pay. The guy said he didn't have his wallet and wanted to just dine and dash. I said, no, let's just pay with my card. I pulled out some cash to tip the waiter and he said, don't tip him. Waiters get paid enough. Besides, he made the coupon invalid. Their job is to rip people off. I had previously worked as a waitress and took no offense. I paid, I tipped, and we left. It just got worse after that when he refused to take me home until I threatened him. I took my loss on the meal because I wouldn't want to see him for him to repay me, and I didn't bother answering his numerous calls and texts. I've had a lot of great dates since though. I'm a simple gal. It does not take much to impress me. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty... not the impression you want to set on like a first date. Like, not even bringing your wallet. Like, I don't think you want to be using a coupon either. Like, no. you want to ease people into that. Like, if you're that type of person, you think.
Yeah. Hold on. I got a coupon here for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like,
kids eat free coupon. You know. It's something we don't get a whole pile of here is coupons, like, but in the States, I know they love coupons, man.
Yeah, like, I wish we got more. Okay, I'm imagining the difference between like coupons, like, you know, we get vouchers here, like, what the
we get vouchers, yeah. Coupon and
a voucher. But like a voucher is something like, yeah, I would buy like as a gift for someone, £50 voucher. Mm-hmm. You can take that to that place and use it. I don't know if this is the same or this is something
I think a lot of
magazine. That's what I'm
That's exactly, yeah. Coupons are more like money off, a percentage off, or like buy one, get one free. Free appetizer with this coupon. Whereas, like you say, a voucher is like when someone gives you a gift voucher. And it's like, there's 30 euro on that, you know, go and use it. Yeah. Mm. So, worst date. I have a massive crush on a guy for months, and he finally asked me out. I was so nervous that I drank half a bottle of port on an empty stomach before going to meet him.
Like port?
Port, yeah. Jesus. We head out, and he takes me out to a new bar his friend has just opened. Champagne on the house. Who has friends that just open bars? Like...
like, free champagne?
This is some serious Hollywood shit, yeah. Everything was becoming a blur and I was feeling no pain. We decided to head back to his via a cab. This was when I decided I was going to recreate the scene from The Exorcist in the back of the vehicle. Mostly, it's a port and champagne cocktail.
Oh! Back of the vehicle makes this 10 times worse. Yeah. Closed space.
Confined, no. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Ports, this real... ooh. After tipping the cabbie an extra 50 to fumigate his upholstery, we head into his cool flat where we both agree I need a bath. Cue hot soapy bubbles from this long suffering guy, and I manage to lock the door and sink under the sweet scented foam. Bliss. Until I come round with him dragging me out of the bath. Apparently he'd been knocking for a while and I was semi-conscious and slipping under the water. I wake up in his bed naked the next morning, horrific hangover with the bathroom door kicked down and the door frame in splinters. When I asked if we did it, he replied in the negative, stating it would have been like necrophilia. Amazingly, we did continue to go out for a while. Amazingly, we did continue to go out for quite a while after that. I mean, credit that dude for...
much.
Yeah, credit that dude for kicking down his bathroom door, you know. I mean, it's either that or someone dies in your apartment, I suppose.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That was a heavy night in the town, mate.
Yeah. Let me see. I had another one.
I've thankfully never had a horrific date story like this.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's some awful ones. And a lot of them seem to, like, I know USA is a big place, but I think there's just a lot more weird and strange people and places in the USA, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's just numbers, isn't it? It's just more people. There's just more, crazies. There's more just nutcases, and then there's more, like, more people for the crazy shit to happen to. Like, it's so fucked up.
So I've told this story on Reddit before. This is a Reddit one coming from Bab Blue Eyed. I've told this story on Reddit before, but it's always a good one. I went on a first date with a guy. He was a little bit odd, but that's okay. He was cool. I do odd. He had a bachelor's degree in IT, but was unemployed and living in his grandma's house. Not my idea of a turn-on, but I can deal. We went for Indian food, which I love. A lot of people go for Indian food, D. A lot of people.
It's good food, I'm sure.
We enjoy the food and talk a bit more. He had never had a long-term relationship and had only slept with one girl. So, yeah, there was a lot of red flags at this point, but I like conversations and this guy seemed a bit lonely. So dinner is winding down and I'm contemplating my exit strategy for afterward. Then it happened. Dinner was over. We were about to head our way, but before we could, he picked up the plate and licked it. Licked it clean at that. Not just a single lick, but the whole goddamn plate. After my amazement subsided, he invited me back to his grandma's place. I politely declined, of course, and did what I think is a favor. I sat him down and explained some of the things he did wrong on the date. I hope he used the information I give him for his next date.
Such a compared to other things that have been like, you know, ruined the dates. It's such a simple thing, licking the plate. But at the exact same time, I would have the exact same reaction. Like, I would just have, nope, negatory.
Yeah.
If you want to lick the plate, that's fine. Just not at like a public restaurant on your first date.
Yeah.
Gotta ease people into these things, Chris. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Your coupons and your plate licking.
Let me see if I can find another one. Let's see if I can do this live, because they're the only ones I had stated. Do you have our time for this podcast, Dee? Do you have whereabouts we're sitting time-wise?
We are 55 minutes deep.
55, no, sorry,
an hour, yeah, 55 minutes since our beginning, yep.
Okay, happy days.
Because unlike usual MV Promise procedure, we were on time this morning. 10 a.m. Yeah. on the dot. And it's currently 10:55.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Anyone who's watching, there you go. That's the time.
Oh, it is 10:55. Yeah, that's right. So the real Big Harry writes this one. Best first date. I pick her up from the airport. We meet in person for the first time. Go for coffee. Turns out there was serious chemistry there. And for a week, we were inseparable. Fair enough. The worst date I had with a hunchback, with a squint, a speech impediment. Nothing against her. She deserves love too. But I arranged the date with a pretty blonde girl. To make it worse, the hunchback had no real personality either. I ended up having a female friend come over as my quote-unquote ex, who then made a big play for me, and I apologized to my date, explaining that we had only recently broke up and I didn't think I was ready. I paid for her bill and her taxi home. A week later, I'm in the pub with some friends, and in walks the young lady with her pretty blonde friend, who then gave me a hard time for not responding to her. The hunchback young lady had actually stolen a date from her friend. I'm not really sure how that
played.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's bullshit. I think they're conspiring, those two.
You think
so?
I don't think
you steal a date. No way. Mm-hmm. No. I don't think so. That's all a play. I didn't lie to you about my appearance. My friend stole a date. No. Too convenient.
Worst one, I met a guy online. I arranged to meet him in person. He was pleased. He was pleasing on the eye, as were all his photos. When I arrived, I was relieved that he looked exactly like his pictures. Then he opened his mouth. He was missing about 7 or 8 teeth, and I couldn't stop looking at this disgusting mouth. It was nauseating. Especially when he tried to kiss me. He bragged about his success throughout the date, owned a house, a car, a motorcycle by 29, yet he did nothing about his teeth. Oral hygiene is not negotiable. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. Can't complain with that. Like, that's just not what you want to see. When I heard that, what I imagined was that guy from Tiger King. Joe Exotic's
partner.
You ever see that?
Yeah.
Teeth. Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
I'll finish off with this one then. Jest2800 writes, I met this woman from an early online dating website. Yahoo Dating, maybe. So this is very early. So we go on a first date. Everything goes well and we have a good time. 2 days later, she calls me and we set up a second date. I drive to her place to pick her up and she invites me in, saying she is not quite ready. She is wearing a terry cloth robe. I make myself a drink at her suggestion and sit on the couch. About 5 minutes later, she comes out still in the robe. You know what? Why don't we just stay here tonight? She says. I am thinking, this is going way better than I had hoped for. Let me show you my room. We go towards the back of the house and she opens the door for me. I step through and she turns on the light. I do a slow pan around the room in total shock. In the middle of the room is this contraption, is the best description I have of it. Made from 4x4s and metal pipes and leather cuffs. On the wall, there is an assortment of riding crops, cats of 9 tails, leather masks, strap-ons, and more. As soon as I finally pan all the way around, I see her. She has taken off the robe and is wearing a full leather corset dominatrix outfit. I nope the fuck out of there with a quickness I've never seen before.
Oh my gosh.
How did you not bring
that up? Like, it's just like,
I know.
It's like, let's just go to bed. No big deal. And like, yeah, oh yeah, also.
Yeah.
Dominatrix. Like,
that's also a first date. Insane. Like, that's a first fucking date. Like,
yeah, like, you can't just like, what? This is normal, regular things.
Just ease into it, yeah.
That's insane.
Met a guy for a walk. He brought his dog. His dog had a seizure. It had a disorder, but it hadn't had a seizure in months. He then insisted we keep walking and that his dog didn't need to go home. There was no chemistry or click and little to talk about. It was very awkward. We did not go out again.
I just feel bad for the dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, there's some Valentine's stories I found. There's a whole lot more, like, but
oh, of course.
I think we can move on with our podcast for this week, since we're still live.
I would like to say, Chris, before we do move on,
please do.
Anyone watching live or anyone who listens to this at a later date has a horrific Valentine's story that they would like to share, please get in touch. Or if you've heard one and would like to share on another person's behalf, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll read it out. We'll make you
any questions, comments, or queries, by all means, drop them. Drop them. If you're listening to this live, drop some questions now and we'll discuss them before we finish the show. If not, get in touch with us through our email or our social media and drop us a few questions and we'll pick them up on the show. You want to get personal with the podcast?
Hell yeah.
You want to get personal?
I want to get I want to really dig in this week.
What? Feel it this week, yeah. Okay, good. I have just brought you back onto my screen for the first time in what feels like an hour.
Hello.
Welcome.
Do you like what I've done with the place?
I love it. I like the little toad, and is that Mr. Peanut Butter behind you?
That's Mr. Yeah. Peanut Butter. That's a toad.
That's a mushroom. That's a shroom.
And that's a moon.
That's a moon. I was wondering what that white ball is. That's the moon. Nice.
That's the moon. We borrowed it.
You want to tell me what you've been getting up to over the last week?
Well, I mean, not a lot, Chris. I think the biggest thing that happened to me this week is that I stopped playing Minecraft.
Why'd you stop?
The reason that I stopped Minecraft is because, I'll tell you why.
Because you were playing too much Minecraft?
I did everything, Chris, right? I did everything that you're supposed to do. So, like, I got people who aren't know Minecraft or don't care about Minecraft, just bear with me here for about 2 minutes. I got all of that diamond armor. I got it enchanted real nice, you know? I was really happy with my setup, Chris. I went for the very first time ever to the Ender Dragon. I've never done that before.
Oh yeah, did you beat the Ender?
Simply because I had no interest in it, but this time I did. I wanted to go there. Yes, I did. I beat the Ender Dragon. After, like, I was so stressed about, like, dang and losing all my stuff, because I was like, I felt like I worked so hard to get it all. I got him beat. I didn't lose my stuff. I was very happy with that. I went exploring. In the end, I got the Elytra, so I could fly around. Now I was like, now I'm in a place where I can really, like, go, like, balls to the wall and start, like, building, like, massive contraptions, because, like,
Of course,
I can, like, go exploring, find all the resources I need. It's gonna be real easy. I got all the enchanted gear. It's like, great. So I do go exploring, find a temple, like a pyramid desert temple type. Have you been to these yet?
Yeah, I have.
I'd never experienced them before.
Okay, so, like, yeah.
That added
these
so
are
much since I last played Minecraft.
These are.
Do you know what happened to me?
Did you get blown up with TNT?
We got blown to bits. I got blown to smithereens.
Yeah, they are booby trap places, man.
What I did not realize is that whenever your items drop, and if they get blown up by TNT...
Oh, no.
So I lost all my gear, and I was like, I need to step back for a bit, because...
My heart just sank a little bit for you.
It
probably
didn't take me that long to get back to where I was, but the fact that I would
no, it's
do
just
this,
it's
like,
it's the doing, yeah, it's the
now
doing
it's time
of
to
it.
Take a break.
Ah, oh, man, I
so
feel your pain.
Broke, obviously.
It's like when you put time into anything and it just suddenly stops. It's like, that kind of sucks. Yeah.
And you know what the most depressing part is, Chris? My little base that I had made is currently like, it's like mid construction of this new massive build that I was working on. So all of the all of the scaffolding is up, like, you can see the skeleton of what I was trying to create, but I just don't have the will to finish it now. It's just like, it's gonna stay like this, isn't it?
Yeah, like, that's it, like,
oh dear.
Oh, so I get
was,
it like,
that was the heartbreak of my week.
Aside
from that, I've been sitting here waiting for snow.
We heard the promise of snow during the week, and now it's finally hit us this weekend. But I think, like, tomorrow it gives rain or something, so I'm not, you know, it's not gonna last very long. It's like sleeting at the minute here, so
We're still getting snow, but we're expecting rain pretty soon.
I jumped back into Tomb Raider 2 this week. That is a frustrating game. That is a frustrating game, D.
Yeah.
I said to you, I was because I'll put the recordings up on our page just to have them up. I mean, I'm playing the game anyway, so I thought, fuck it, I'll just record it. But I do like a play first of all of like each of the levels just to get a feel for them, you know, and like do it like without saving it, and then I know where I'm going and I can kind of just get right through it. But I'm in what's called the opera house at the minute. Like I'm struggling, man. I'm struggling. Game's kicking my ass. That's my plan for today, is to get the opera house cleared up and read up, and then the game kind of opens up a bit. But that's all I've been playing this week. Doing a lot of running. I think last week after we talked, I went and got a nice big Chinese, which was very nice. And just
what'd
as we were getting,
what did you get?
Well, I got chow mein, and I got a large portion of salted chili chips, and then I also got a large gravy chip, because there's not a whole pile we can eat out of the Chinese unless they offer like
vegan specific stuff.
Basically. But I'm happy. Like I just had a hankering for some noodles, so I really wanted the noodles. And the salted chili chips were a fantastic addition. I got the gravy chip as well because it's me, and I was planning to put some of it aside and have some of it the next day, but I just ate the whole thing. The thing is, while the Chinese was coming, our electricity all just cut out. There was like rolling blackouts across Derrynoose, Katy, all over the place. So it was a nice experience, but we were eating the Chinese by candlelight, which was definitely different.
That is a unique experience, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
That's nice.
It was nice. That was last Saturday. I think then Sunday, I can't remember what I ate. I've definitely had more food. But I can't remember. And then I was hoping that I'd be able to go and get some food today. But it's looking like I'm not going to go very far at all today.
No.
Like
that's a day. Yeah, you gotta commit to being indoors, to being local, on a snow day. That's one of the negatives of it. You know, there aren't many negatives. It's mainly, you know, overwhelmingly positive. But that's one of the negatives.
Yeah, like unless you have like your supplies in, like you're kind of screwed. But thankfully, there's like a full freezer stocked, so I'm gonna have some real easy, cheap food today. You know, just some. Bung it in, 20 minutes later it's ready, sit back, put my feet up.
Do you know what I've been having? Not a lot of, but I've had it like twice in the last 2 weeks.
What's that?
Mac and cheese.
Ooh, dude, I love mac and cheese. It's good stuff. I fucking love mac and cheese.
Cheap meal, but it's
yeah, are you buying mac and cheese? Are you making mac and cheese?
Yeah, we're buying it. I have made mac and cheese in the past, right? And it has never come out quite right. I'm missing some key components, it seems. We're putting in like red cheddar and like mozzarella is like what we're dropping in there, and really all you're tasting is like cheese. You're not really getting that like kind of
okay. Are you making
MSG?
Are you making yeah? I get it. Are you making like a sauce, like a roux first of all, like with flour and butter to make like a cheese sauce before you add the cheese?
No, we're doing like
that could be
like,
that.
I don't even remember what we added. We added like milk and. Some weird shit.
Yeah.
We boiled milk first. Yeah. Maybe we didn't add flour to make a roux. No. So that's what roux is, isn't it? It's flour, milk, and it's like you mix it.
Flour and butter, or flour and milk, or something like that. Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, you mix it until
it's flour and something. Yeah.
And then that turns into a sauce. Yeah, that's how my dad would make macaroni and cheese for like the younger was here, and like it turns out like it's like stringy and sticky and like proper cheesy.
We got the consistency right when we made it. The consistency was spot on. It was stringy and cheesy enough, but the cheeses themselves weren't quite right. And apparently, it's you need the cheap cheese. You need the shit cheese. You know the slices, the easy singles.
I was just about to say to you, what kind of cheese are you using? Are you using because this is a big thing. Do you know that if you grate your own cheese, it actually is better to use for this kind of stuff than pre-grated cheese in bags?
Because pre-grated cheese in bags. Has starch on it to stop it from sticking together.
There you go. It's got starch.
So when you mix that in.
There's a life lesson for everyone. Don't use pre-grated cheese if you want it to melt well. Got starch.
Exactly. Exactly.
You don't want starch with the cheese.
I don't think we weren't using that stuff. Because I remember we were... sometimes we've made it just out of laziness. Sometimes we've specifically, like, I've sought out the ingredients to make this. But I think you need... I need the cheap cheese, or you need, like, some sort of, like, additive that makes the cheap cheese all combined together. So it's kind of like... What you're looking for is that, like, velvety kind of, you know... It's not necessarily gooey cheese, but it's kind of
velvety,
like,
cheese. Oh,
you know, like velvety cheese. You know what I mean? It's almost liquid, but it's not quite. Almost like fondue. You know what I mean?
Oh god, a fondue, man. Oh, yeah.
But I haven't ventured that way in a while. We've been using the packaged stuff.
Do you ever think about what would happen if you got a chocolate fountain and just put cheese in it?
I don't think. Yeah, you'd need like the right cheese, though. You need like a cheese. Powder, I would imagine, of some way. You know, like, I don't think you just melt cheese and run it through that thing, or it'll
clog up. That's gonna be a fucking mess to clean up. That's just, like, a use it once and then bin the machine. Well, that's the thing. Like, if you can drop a block of like chocolate into it and it melts enough for chocolate, like,
chocolate melts. Work. You heat up chocolate, it goes liquid. You heat up cheese, like.
It goes soft.
It doesn't necessarily
soft.
Go liquid. It goes soft and it starts maybe to run, but then it'll like start burning and now you're in trouble.
Oh, God. I do like cheese, D. I really like cheese.
Oh. Any cheeses you can have these days?
Like, yeah, like they're coming out.
Almond-based cheese.
No. They're, see, a lot of, you gotta milk the almonds, dude. That's the tricky part, getting the milk from the almonds, you know? Been up all
how
morning.
How the fuck do they get milk out of almonds? I don't know.
Been up all morning milking my almonds. No, it's normally like a coconut based, like, cheese, and honestly, like, the smell of it would put you off it. That's what we say, but, but there is some good cheeses that you can get, like, dairy free cheeses that are really good. In particular, there's an applewood smoked cheese that is particularly good.
That sounds good.
It's very
good. Here's my thing about cheese. Mm. What is cheese? Cheese is just basically like a more advanced form of butter. Like, it's all made the same.
Yeah, it's curd, isn't it?
Core components. Yeah.
Yeah, curd.
So if you can make butter, they can make butter basically out of fat and nothing else, can't they? Like, that's...
Yeah, that's what butter is.
Your flora spreads, all that stuff. It's just fat, right?
Yeah.
Vegetable oil or something like that. So why can't you just like take that to the next level, like with regular butter into cheese? I don't understand it, but I would have thought it shouldn't be too difficult.
Wait, what are you trying to say here? So
like, there's some process for converting milk into butter and cheese, right?
Milk into butter and cheese. Yes, that's right.
And they have butter made out of vegetable oils or like fats, whatever it is. So why? Yes. What's the missing link to get that butter to cheese? You know what I mean? Like,
I get you.
I want the vegans. I want you to have cheese, Chris, because good old cheese.
I get
it.
I mean, you can make some pretty good like cheese sauces, like vegan cheese sauces that you genuinely. I think if I put down a good cheese sauce in front of you, you'd probably struggle to know that. Like, obviously, you know that I wouldn't be eating it otherwise, but I think you'd struggle to know. Jesus, there's no cheese in there, you know.
Well, yeah, nutritional that's fine.
Nutritional
you can make
yeast
a good mac
is very
cheese
good.
Out of that, Chris.
Yeah, exactly. What are we talking about? Cheese? Cheese on toast. Like, cheese on toast is a staple.
Oh, classic.
Yeah, yeah. Just you get a good
toast.
I like a good, yeah.
Just bread with a thick slice of cheese and put that under the grill.
Mm.
You get like what we call bubble toast. Like
bubble toast.
Cheese.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's delicious.
That is good stuff.
I like a good you know, like a farmhouse kind of loaf that you'd buy? Like a round loaf.
Oh, yeah.
Real old style. Leave it like a day or two until it starts to get like just a wee bit, not steel, but just a wee bit firmer than if it's fresh. And then cut a nice thick slice, good thick slices of it. And then get like a nice cheese kind of, just good cheese, I guess. Put it on it. Under the grill, let it bubble up. Maybe a little bit of red onion or something on there as well, D. Just for a wee bit of something. Oh boy, now we're talking. Maybe some Worcester. Although we can, you know, if you like Worcester, no, that's fine. I didn't know if you liked it. I was just asking. Jesus, Jesus.
It's a bit of a, you know, I don't know, Chris. It feels like a bit of a stretch there to start adding your Worcestershire sauce.
Mm. That's fair. That's fair. No one Tell asked. Me, are you in any way excited for Easter eggs coming?
No.
No. Okay, okay.
Negatory.
Well, that's the end of that. No.
I see Easter eggs and I'm like, oh crap, I better buy some of those for the kids before I forget. And then I don't. And then I buy them for like £7 a pop the day before.
Yeah, so. I know. £7 a pop the day before, yet the day after Easter Sunday, they're down to like 19p each. And you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, exactly.
This is fine. This is fine. I remember growing up.
I'm going to give the kids Santa, chocolate Santas this year.
Yeah, perfect.
£1 for a kilo.
But like I remember growing up and like being even at your house or our house and just like mounds of eggs. It was always like, how many eggs were we going to have? Oh. You know? Yeah. Mini eggs and cream eggs and Cadbury and crunchy, and you get the mugs that you now have your tea out of all the time. And oh yeah.
Controversial question.
Go on.
Should you put chocolate eggs into the fridge? Store them in the fridge.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of chocolate in the fridge.
I concur.
Oh yeah.
I'm a fan. No. Whoa. not chocolate in the fridge.
But it's the same thing.
Like eggs.
It's the same thing.
Oh, it's very different, Chris.
It's chocolate.
No, if you have a that's Cadbury cold. Like, you know, like a milk thick, you know, like not even thick. It's not even that thick. But if it's any thicker than like say, I don't know, a couple of millimeters. More than a centimeter, that's the limit, right? And then more than a centimeter, you're putting that in the fridge, your teeth are going to have a hard time. You know what I mean? Biting through that cold chocolate.
Well, you don't have to bite through it, though. Nice, the fact is, you break it, you put it into your mouth, and because it's going from such a cold temperature into the nice warmth of your mouth, it just starts to melt instantly, coating your tongue and running down your throat. Delicious.
I'm more into it for the snap that you get. You know?
Oh yeah, the click.
The tactile. I'm more about the feeling I get when I bite into it, rather than specifically the taste. It's all about the snap you get when you bite into like a piece of chocolate egg, and it's cold, so it's kind of
I like getting
more rigidity. And just goes.
Yeah, I like getting like a couple of eggs, just putting them inside like a big bag, breaking them all down into like little like smaller pieces, and then throwing that bag into the fridge. And then whenever you take it out, you get like a lucky dip of like different chocolate pieces that are cold, thin. Just delicious, just good chocolate.
Do you know what we should do, Chris? Right, well, we'll wait until Easter's just over by a little bit. They're getting rid of, you know, trying to empty the shelves of the Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
We'll buy like 20 of them, 30 of them. I don't know. Buy as many as we can, right?
Yeah.
And just seems like a, take seems them like all, a good break number. Them all down, melt them. Right, mm-hmm. we melt mm-hmm. them all up, mm-hmm. and then we like we save one egg, cut mm-hmm. a tiny hole in the top, and we pour all of the melted chocolate into that egg. Seal it up again, and then we have a 100. Like we have a not hollow Easter egg. We have a.
Do you know what?
Full Easter egg. The dream you had as a kid, we can make a reality.
Do you know what? Do you know how you can also make that a reality with the same principle, just slightly less work? Get your eggs, right, or whatever chocolate like that come in your eggs, and melt it down. But you know the way your Easter eggs come in like a plastic carton, and it's like a mold. Open the mold out. And just fill them up with chocolate and then refrigerate them. Take them out. And you got two half like coconuts of just pure chocolatey. And then you get like a thin layer of chocolate and you just... And then you've got one massive chocolate egg. Yeah, yeah.
You got your big egg.
It's wonderful.
Got your big egg. I mean...
Are you a white chocolate fan, Dee?
It kind of depends. Like I wouldn't be going out buying a big like a... I would never buy like a Dairy Milk bar. Of white chocolate.
Okay.
We're talking about white chocolate, aren't we? You didn't say dark chocolate.
Yeah.
My head's going.
No, white. Yeah.
Like I like a Milky Bar, right? But that's about that's about it.
And it also falls into that category of being very, very thin.
Exactly. You can give that a good snap if you put it in the fridge.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
I like white chocolate mixed with regular chocolate. That's very nice.
Oh, yeah. I like white chocolate. I like Milky... Well, I used to like Milky Bar buttons. You know the buttons? Like Milky buttons, how do you call them? They're delicious.
Oh, yeah.
They're delicious. Awesome. Like I'd throw away like 20 packets of them without thinking. You know?
And those are like pure dark fat chocolate as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's all it is. Like, and I'm a big. I'm a big fan.
Is anything good?
I'm a big fan of dark chocolate as well. So there we go.
I'm not. I struggle with dark chocolate. Unfortunately. Do you?
No.
Yeah, the bitterness.
I was hoping to get out today, D, to go and get some ingredients because I wanted to, after our discussion last week, make fresh homemade bagels. Poppy seed bagels. don't you fucking dare. Yeah. They're going to be delicious. Yeah, and they're going to be called bagels. No, enough. Yeah, I think that would be a tremendous home cooking experience. The smell of fresh bagels and freshly ground coffee all culminating in the kitchen to make this. Oh my god, I can't even. My mouth is salivating just at the thought of it, D.
But unfortunately, I've seen bagels made. I've never made them before. Fry them or something?
You do, yeah. Do you want to see what I'm looking at out right now, D? Do you want to see this?
Yeah, go on. Right. I'm excited. Viewers, listeners of the podcast, I'll describe it for you. I see white fields as far as the eye can see. Yeah. And that's about it, Chris. I don't know if you're trying to show me a lot of like snow coming down, but it looks heavily layered out there.
Yeah. It was pretty heavily layered.
Like a good foot of snow. That's what I would say.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's still coming down. I didn't know if you could see that or not.
We've got it. It's still tipping away out here. There's nothing super heavy, like.
Mm.
But I'm happy with any wee bit of snow. Yeah.
What's your plans for this romantic weekend? Or is it too not safe for work to discuss?
I'm gonna go outside and I'm gonna play in the snow. That is not suitable for work, but not for the reasons that you'd think. I don't think people would. Yeah. But yeah, we're gonna go out. We're gonna play in the snow. Me and the dogs. That's what we're gonna do, right?
That's a tremendous idea. Yeah.
That's about it. That's probably gonna take up most of the evening.
I don't know. That's gonna take me to about seven or eight.
Six or seven hours.
I'll come in for a quick bath and that's off to bed by seven.
Yeah, get my jammies on and that's me to bed. I'm gonna go find an old fertilizer bag. I'm gonna fill it full of hay. I'm gonna brilliant. Go sliding down a hill. I'm gonna climb Black Mountain here. I'm gonna go down.
Don't even joke about that. You know I will drive to you if you have a fertilizer bag. God. Like if you have a fertilizer,
I'll drive to you. We're gonna go Rathcumber Hill. We're gonna get the tunes pumping. We're gonna get the Nokia under the cell. What was the phone?
Sony Ericsson's. Yeah. Yeah, so years ago, whenever there was really heavy snow in Derrynoose, Dee and myself and a friend of ours, Kevin, we got out of school early because the snow was so bad, and we went to hills that live beside us, and
live beside us.
Fuck, Dee, my head's gone. I'm getting hungry.
The hills.
We got no fertilizer bag because it's what you did in the countryside. You got a fertilizer bag, one of the slick ones, and we put it over like an old bodyboard. Wasn't it like a bodyboard?
Hmm. That's right, yeah, it was a boogie board, yeah.
And, like, these hills were steep. And they were just so perfectly, like, packed that it was so quick. And, like, towards the end, like, three quarters of the way down, there was just, like, a rock jutting out of the road that made almost, like, a perfect ramp. Did we put it there? Did we place snow there?
We expanded on that, yeah. I don't know if it was either naturally or not, but we definitely increased the steepness of that ramp to make a bit of a jump for ourselves
and spent hours there just up and down the hills.
Yeah.
Man, there were good times.
We were 22 at the time.
Yeah, four good years fly by. Yeah, I have no plans for today as well. I'll see if I can risk getting to the main road. If I can get to the main roads, I think this should be okay. I might be able to get somewhere to get some ingredients, and if not, I'm gonna take it easy. I'm gonna chill, play some Tomb Raider, maybe read a book. Who knows, Dee? Who knows? Yeah. Things are going to get wild.
Get yourself down by the fire, sit by the window, and read a book. That's what today is
that's
for.
Tremendous. That's tremendous. I think you kind of misunderstand where I live. I don't have a window near my fire, but I know the thought. I know the thought we're going for.
Yeah, you don't have to be beside the fire. Beside the window in a room with a fire. You have that. I know you have that.
Perfect. Perfect. I was going to say something there. Book, podcast, do
pod book.
It's completely gone. The thought's gone.
You need food, Chris.
I do need food. Yeah, I'm going to go get a decent breakfast now after this. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up a live episode, I guess?
Thank you, everybody who watched our live episode.
Yeah.
We've had four viewers at the minute all the way through, so that's really nice that people were actually paying attention.
Yeah, that's nice.
They were there.
Yeah, and of course, this is going to go up on our normal feed YouTube channel, and the audio will be available over on Empty Promise Podcast on any social media site from Monday at probably 10, 11 a.m., I would imagine. I think that's all we gotta shoot this week. I think it's time to just go and start to enjoy the weekend, D. What do you think?
Absolutely. That's it. Everyone else, enjoy your weekends as well.
Yes, have a safe weekend.
Safe in the snow.
Yes, in the snow. We're visible colors. Like, don't go out there in white. Could be
luminous pink would be my advice.
I hope to see you out in your luminous pink coat playing in the snow later today, D. That'd be great. Chris.
With my coat, Chris, you'd be able to see it. You'd be able to see it from Dare News.
Thank you to everybody who tuned
Louise
in.
Oh, Louise Gary, thank you very much.
Oh, hello. Yes, thank you very much
Michelle
indeed.
Callahan, thank you very much as well.
Thank you. Yes. Look at you with all the shout-outs. You've got like a full command station there seeing this shit. I don't see anything. I just sit here. Six screens all over the place.
I'm also trading GameStop up top. It's going good. Everything's red.
Oh, that's what it was. Do you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to find Willy's Wonderland somewhere, and I'm going to watch that shit if I can find it.
Yeah, good shit.
Somewhere. If I find a decent place to watch it, or if I have it on Amazon, I'll buy it there, and then you can just watch it. Yeah. There we go.
Absolutely.
The
perfect cozy winter's day movie.
Yeah. A horror slasher starring Nick Cage. Like, what's not to like?
The man.
Yeah?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 121. We will see you all next week for 122 Bright-Eyed and Bushy-Tailed. Goodbye and God bless.
Bye-bye.